you know, you can be this superhero to everyone when you're performing well, and then as soon as you don't, it's like people don't know you. And, you know, I experienced that firsthand, and it's a weird feeling because you've learned very quick who your true friends are.
Hey, welcome to the Influencing Society podcast, a podcast that's going to develop your leadership. It's going to sharpen your faith and help you to influence your world for good and for God. My name is Chris Ensby, and I'll be the host of the podcast today. And today, get the privilege of talking with Elijah Winnington. Welcome to the podcast, Elijah.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
And Elijah, you are one of the Australian dolphins. Can you tell us, what is an Australian dolphin?
I am. An Australian dolphin is something you get when you make the senior Australian swimming team. So I debuted on that team in 2018 at the Commonwealth Games.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I've been on the team since, till now, so a few years now.
How old are you?
I'm turning 20 this year.
Turning 20, but you've been on the Dolphins for a few years.
Yeah, so I debuted when I was 17, before my 18th birthday.
And Commonwealth Games, that's incredible. Where was that, Commy Games?
The Commonwealth Games on the Gold Coast.
That was the Goldie?
Yeah, my hometown. So it was an experience, that's for sure.
Yeah, were you happy with your performance there? Did it put a fire in you? Was that your first kind of world level competition?
Senior world level competition, definitely. My performance, you know, was a dream come true for me. I won a gold medal in the 4x200 freestyle relay with three of my best mates, and you know, I swam the fastest time of that relay, and you know, it was kind of just like everything that, you know, I could dream of kind of happened in that one night.
And you have a junior world record.
Yes, yeah, so I do. I broke that in the end of 2018, my last chance to get it, just before 2019, ticked over in the 200 freestyle.
And the 200 free.
Yeah.
Junior world record holder, gold medal Commonwealth Games athlete.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah, and all by age of 20.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So let's hope I can progress forward and do something better.
So with swimming, and obviously you're a freestyler, how long do you spend in the pool each day? Normal training day, how long would you spend in the pool, and how far would you swim?
A normal training day can be anywhere between 4 to 5 hours in the pool itself, and it can range from anywhere between 12 to 16 kilometers in that one day.
Wow, most people wouldn't run that in one day, let alone swim it. And Aussies have a good reputation in swimming as well. You carry the hopes of the nation every Olympic Games we go to.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Australian swimmers are particularly followed by, you know, the great Ian Thorpe and that sort of stuff. Yeah. So we have a lot of pressure, but we seem to deliver most Olympics. So absolutely, let's keep that rolling.
I'll circle back to that bit in a moment about the Olympic Games getting postponed, because that'll take up a little bit of time. But with all your travel and everything, it kind of... It looks like traveling, competing, winning gold medals. It seems like quite the fun, maybe attractive lifestyle. What people probably don't see is what you have to give up, I'm assuming, to do that. So tell us a bit about, you know, maybe your training, how hard it is in the pool, or the things that you actually have to give up outside of food and sweets. What do you have to give up to reach this level of athleticism?
Yeah, well, like you said, it's a glamorous lifestyle on the outside. I mean, one may look that I get to travel the world, but, you know, when we do travel, we kind of very much quarantine to a hotel room, like everyone's quarantined here, so we don't get sick pre-competition, and we're in, you know, heavy training regimes at that point, because we've got our, you know, major competition coming up, so we can't, you know, let all our training go to waste. So even when we do travel, we kind of don't really see much outside of the food hall and the four rooms of our hotel room.
Yeah, well.
And then when the competition's over, we fly home the next day. So it's not like we get to go out sightseeing or anything. But I mean, in saying that, you know, even the training at home, we have to, you know, all through school, I didn't get to go to one party. I didn't, you know, get to go to one camping trip with my mates. I didn't, you know, get to surf. I love being outdoors. I love outdoor activities. I had to give a lot of that up. One, risk of injury, and two, you know, I just simply didn't have the time or energy some days. So, I mean, while we do get to, you know, seem like we, you know, stand on the podium and raise our hands in glory, but we are so emotional because we know how much we've actually had to put in to get this gold medal or result we've wanted. So it's tough. It's definitely a tough lifestyle. It's not one that is easy by any means, but it's definitely one that's very rewarding. It's very disciplined, and it's definitely all worth it in the end.
Are you a naturally disciplined person, or is this something you've had to learn? Is this something that mum and dad kind of instilled in you and made you do? Or how did you get to be this disciplined? Is your passion for it just so great that nothing else matters? What is that about you?
I think it's a combination of things. I mean, I've been in swimming since I was 6 years old. So really, ever since I can remember, this is all I've known.
Sure.
I've been waking up at 4:30 a.m. since I was six and not known what a different schedule's like. So yeah. I would always train before school. I'd always have to fit in my homework where I could. So it was always something I grew up with. So I just didn't really know any better. But in saying that, my parents are also very disciplined and they're very, you know, tough on my schedule and my regime. And it's got to be that way because I do need guidance. And yeah, right. I know that I wouldn't be as disciplined as I am without them. But also, like you said, like my passion for swimming, you know, it's something that I absolutely love and it's something that I absolutely love doing. So, you know, when I am, you know, doing a training set and getting out and vomiting and it's something that doesn't look too flattering and it doesn't look too, oh, that looks great.
Yeah.
It's something that I love doing because when it comes race time, it's like, you know, this is it. Like, this is why I do what I do.
Yeah. And so what do you think about, say you're doing 6 hours doing 12K in the pool, whatever it may be, you're back and forth, and then you turn around and you get back and forth,
turn around and go forth. Yeah.
So what do you think about? What's your head game in this? How do you keep going? Are you thinking about the stroke? Does your mind wander? Mm. What's your head game there?
I mean, this is one of the most asked questions I get all the time, and it's a lot of things. I mean, a lot of the time you do have to think about technique and that sort of stuff because swimming is a very technical sport. There's always so many things you've got to think at one time.
Right.
However, you know, if I have a speech to practice, I'll be doing the speech in my head. Or sure. If I have assignments to do, I'll be practicing writing that assignment or something like that. Like my mind wanders, I sing songs, I envision myself say winning the Olympics.
Mental
or
rehearsal.
Exactly, all that. Stuff like that. And, you know, when I'm slogging out hard sets, that's when that sort of stuff really kicks in. And that's the motivator when you're down and you got, you know, 10 reps to go and you're absolutely dying. That's what, you know, pushes you through. So, I mean, there's no one answer what I think about. It's a lot of things. If I'm in a bad mood, it might be something else. And if I'm in a good mood, I might be whistling my way down the pool. So yeah. It really just depends on what the day is.
And what impact has faith played in this as an athlete, in your success, in your training? How does faith integrate with your performance?
I mean, I think it's just the most integral part of my performance, really. Right. I mean, I have always been built on faith. And, you know, I pray before every race. I listen to worship music as I walk out.
Yeah.
It's something that is not only something that I believe in that would help my performance, it's something that I know can touch others that maybe aren't a believer or a follower of Christ. And I believe that's why I'm put in the world of swimming, is not to show the world how good I am at swimming because of God. It's to touch those that maybe don't know God because I do.
Yeah, well.
And so I think that really the faith is the reason I swim is because, you know, without that, I wouldn't really have a purpose in my swimming or in my life. But because of, you know, Christ and because of the faith that I have in him, I'm able to, you know, give it to others.
And so let's reverse that. That's the impact faith has on your training. But what impact has training had on your faith? I used to do track and field, not at the same level as you, but I know the disciplines and things from my training actually impacted my faith. I think I learned more about some aspects of discipline and routine for my Christian walk. I think I learned more on the track than I did even applying the Bible or church life to my world. Has that been the same for you?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, there's so many lessons in the Bible about discipline and about, you know, working hard or even about confidence and stuff like that. So in every walk of life, particularly, you know, in sport, we're able to see those firsthand and then we're able to see it in the Bible and then we're able to maybe demonstrate some of that stuff at the moment. Like this morning I was reading 1 Samuel chapter 17, the story of David and Goliath. Yeah. And, you know, it's incredible because although everyone knows the story, I was reading it this morning in so much awe of the faith and the courage that David had in that moment. And, you know, it's something that I can read and I can also apply to my swimming, but I've experienced it in my swimming so I can understand maybe the word of God a little bit more.
It goes both ways.
Exactly.
So the Bible helps you with your swimming, but the swimming gives you the context of what they're saying in
the
Bible.
That's exactly right.
Really good. And I think that's the way the model always works. The more you understand the Bible, the more you can apply it. The more you apply it, understand it, the more it helps you understand the context of the Bible. So I think that's great.
Yeah.
And so you obviously had ups and downs in your swimming, and you're on a great training block this year, 2020. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Olympics is coming up, and then we receive the news that not only has coronavirus wrecked people's lives, it's taken the Olympics from us as well.
Yes.
So the news to postpone it to 2021 is currently the call. Mm-hmm. Tell us what went through your head in the lead up to that call. Mm-hmm. How did it affect your training, your head game? Because this is what you give your life to. This is Olympics is the pinnacle. So yeah. Tell us about that.
It was tough. I mean, it's still very fresh. I think the call happened, you know, not even a week ago yet.
Yeah.
So I was training, you know, exceptionally hard. I have been for the past maybe year and a half, no breaks. You know, this is 2020 is the thing that everyone looks forward to. And you really start your preparations around end of 2018, started 2019.
So this is a multiple year approach. It's not just a couple
approach.
Months.
No, yeah. No, I haven't been working for this. You know, technically I've been working for this my whole swimming career. So 14 plus years, this is, you know, one of my peak Olympics that I've been working towards. So it was hard hearing the news. The initial news was the hardest, was that the Australian team was pulling out, even though the Olympics were still scheduled for this year.
Oh, that's devastating.
So that was more, I might not get to go for another 4 years because, you know, Australia, and, you know, rightly so, there's, you know, plenty of people around the world that are suffering from this virus. So that was really hard at first. And then a couple of days later, we found out that it was going to be postponed a whole nother year. So, I mean, it was almost the better news, but it was still really hard because, particularly right now, you know, we can't train like we would normally train. I did some racing just before the call was made. I was in Sydney at New South Wales States, and, you know, I was swimming out of this world. I was the fittest I've ever been, you know, my stroke.
Feeling
was,
good.
Exactly. My strokes, the technically it's ever been. I was talking with Ian Thorpe's coach, and he's saying, you know, one of the best shapes he's ever seen. So like I had everything going for me for this year to sort of have it taken away in one split second that I had no control over.
Sure.
And it was hard. It was very hard. And it's still hard now because I'm still in the land of the unknown.
Sure.
I'm still in this thing where I don't really know what to do because, like I said, swimming's been, you know, my life and I've always had something to work towards. But when everything's sort of taken away, no pools, no gyms, no nothing, it's kind of hard to stay motivated and stay focused on what the goal is in a year time when, you know, I can't really do anything right now. But in saying that, it wasn't cancelled and I was, you know, talking to my mate and saying, it's not the worst case because in a year's time, I'm probably going to be better. I'm probably going to be stronger and I'm probably going to be faster.
Sure.
So at the end of the day, it's probably worked out better for me. But right now, I kind of just had to put that early disappointment away and sort of move forward as the dates just got announced today, actually, of when they're going to be.
Oh, did they? Great.
Yeah.
How did you do that? So you put them away. You just put the bad thoughts away. How do you process that? Are you an avoidance guy? Like how do you process that devastating news and how do you continue? Because you're obviously still hopeful. You're still positive about it. Other people, maybe it's not sport, but in their worlds, they go through something similar where they can't see any hope or whatever for the future. How do you stay positive through devastating news and the uncertainty?
Yeah, it's exactly right. I mean, a lot of people have lost their jobs and it's very similar. I've technically just lost my job type thing. So like you said, I'm not an avoider, but I just like to just not really talk about it and just put it aside because, you know, it's happened.
Sure.
Nothing I do is going to change that fact that it's happened. And all I can do is look towards the future. And I've always been a very, you know, positive, motivating kind of guy. I mean, I watch motivational videos. I kind of just do all that sort of stuff. So while I go, oh, that's disappointing, I'm also going, looking at the dates, rethinking my goals, straight on all of that sort of stuff, redoing my affirmations, looking over the Word of God, you know, watching motivational videos, and it's very easy to then just go, you know what, I do have hope. Yep. And at the end of the day, all of this happens for a reason, and who knows, maybe that reason is for my benefit.
Sure. And so you seem like you really control the content of what comes into your head.
Yeah.
More so like not avoiding the bad, but just not letting it come in.
Exactly.
And then through all these other content, you're just downloading all the positive, downloading the things of God into you, and then
It's just filtering the bad content out and, you know, the good content in.
Yeah. And so I'm assuming you've talked with your coaches. And I guess it depends on when they can get you back into the pool for your training, but I guess your coaches are still positive about the Dolphins at 2021.
Yeah, most definitely. I'd talk with my coach every day and, you know, it's still very positive talk. I've been with my coach for nearly 12 years now, so he's seen me grown up. He's like a second dad to me, so he knows how much I've wanted this and I know how much he wanted that. So we're still very positive, and he's a big driver of the motivation of why I still, you know, look to 2021. And he's, you know, where I get all these thoughts from. He's the one that when I'm down, I call, and he's the one that gives me the strength to, you know, think about something better.
Yeah, great. And so I guess during this time as well, the right people around your life make a big difference, like you're saying with your coach and everything like that. Who are the people around your life? Like, you can obviously have certain voices in. Is it your family? Is it mum and dad? Is it siblings, friends? Who are the people in your life that you let in? Do you find that you're only as good as your support? Do you find that they've been your biggest champions in this? Do you reckon you could have done it alone, or do you need them for that?
Oh, most definitely. Like, I think the support network is one of the most vital part of not creating a successful sporting life. I think creating a successful life in general, just a lifestyle. I'm fortunate enough to have, you know, a very, you know, supportive family, immediate family, my parents, my brother, my grandparents, you know, my aunties, uncles, cousins, you know, everyone around me is so supportive and a positive influence on whatever I kind of am going through at that time, whether they really respect my view. If I don't want to talk about something, they can respect that, you know, maybe we should leave it alone, as much as they may want to know all the questions.
Yep.
But in saying that, again, all my coaches, all my friends that I train with, they're all so supportive as well.
Right.
Pastor Mike Mulheron, he baptized me when I was 11 and spoke words over me. He's, you know, still one of the greatest influences over my life, and I cherish, you know, his word that he speaks into my life.
He is a legend.
And so, I mean, I'm very fortunate to have a massive support base, and I think that is why I can continue to achieve what I am achieving.
Yeah, great. With your training schedule, when it's that big every day, if you're up at 4:30, your mornings probably look different to other people's mornings. What's your daily routine with God? Like, obviously you read the Bible, you know it well, you know his voice well. What is your daily with him? Are you a morning guy, a night guy? How does that work for you?
I would say I'm more of a night guy. Waking up at, you know, 5 a.m., I don't really have time before training to maybe read the Bible. So I'm in a Bible study group with my brother that he leads. And so we read, you know, a chapter four times a week. And, you know, I listen to praise and worship music with my family, go to church every Sunday. So, I mean, I lean in as much as I can, you know, pray nightly. So I'd definitely say I'm more of a night guy when it comes to the Word of God. And I feel like that's a time where I can just relax, because all the stuff that I have to think about from the day is done.
Right.
And I can just, you know, lean in and then go to bed type thing.
Yeah, great.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a key part of what I, you know, do in swimming, and I think it's a key part in what I do in my life.
Yeah, that's awesome. And any themes that has God been speaking to you about? You're reading David and Goliath this morning. Has he been resounding any themes through your time with him at the moment? Is he teaching you anything on that front?
Absolutely. The theme at the moment for me is not being afraid and courage. So this morning's, you know, chapter was, you know, quite ironic, because I'll let you in a little story. Last year, 2019, I went to the world's trials and underperformed, and I missed the world's team.
Right.
After, you know, having an incredible successful 2018, I think, you know, 6 months before I had the bad meet, that's when I broke the junior world record. Like, everything was, you know, shooting up for me. So I was just, you know, sitting back going, this is it. Like, this is, you know, why I swim, and my life's good right now. And then, you know, in an instant, it all kind of just flipped around. And I'll be honest, ever since then, I battled with, you know, confidence issues and being afraid, and what if I don't swim well again? What if this happens? What if that happens? And especially leading just before an Olympic year, leading into 2020, I was like, not the time, God, like, please. And little by little, week by week, I was like, you know, slowly starting to get this confidence back, slowly. And then, you know, one day it kind of just, I was, you know, sitting in church here actually, and one day I was just, you know, worshiping. And just this, you know, wave came over me, and it's just like, I had no fear. My confidence was restored, and I kind of just knew everything was going to be okay. And I didn't know how it was going to be okay. I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know anything, but all I knew was, you know what? I think this will be fine.
Wow.
And, you know, I'm a believer in jumping into things and having the faith that God will have my back,
sure,
rather than waiting and just going, God, give me a sign to, and then I'll jump in and then I'll do it. And then, you know, the opportunity may pass. So, I mean, that's what I take into my swimming. That's what I take into my life. So I kind of just took that approach, and I just, you know, said, you know what, I'm just going to jump head in, and whatever happens, happens. But, yep, you know, God, I have the faith that you're going to back me. And I have the faith that, you know, I'm going to come through whatever tough time I'm facing or whatever tough time may lie ahead. But, you know, nothing's impossible.
Wow. It's an incredible moment. And so do you get little moments where they try and creep back in? How do you squash them when that voice tries to come back into your head?
Oh, every day.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's a constant battle. Just because now I'm confident doesn't mean that I'm still battling. There's some days where I may feel even defeated. But the greatest thing is I can wake up and feel completely different the next day.
Yeah.
You know, one battle lost isn't the whole war lost type thing. So it's a battle, but, yeah, you know, it's one I'm willing to fight.
Yeah. And so for you in 2020, if we're not talking swimming, we're just talking Elijah, personal mm-hmm. development, this is you.
Yep.
What's one thing you want to see different about yourself by 2021? Is that connected to this, what we're just talking about, or is it something different, personal development or faith-based, that you want to develop in yourself?
I think it's, you know, integrated with what I was talking about, but also just, you know, in my persona towards people.
Right.
I can be quite a defensive person when it comes to not only my sport but my life. And so not having my sport right now, I'm kind of just like, especially with my family, maybe staying a bit reserved. And it's something that I know I need to improve.
Right.
And it's something that I know I can build my character upon, because, you know, I think it's not the talent of someone or not the, you know, hard work that someone has. I believe it's their character that,
yeah,
you know, gets them to the end or gets them the success that they believe they wanted.
Yep.
And I believe my character can constantly, you know, improve. So there's, you know, plenty of Elijah stuff that I need to be focusing on. And who knows, maybe that's why 2020 was postponed for this year.
So Elijah can, that's why the Olympics
wasn't
on. Exactly,
my family's probably, yeah, going, thank goodness.
I think it's a really, really wise one. I remember reading in the, that book about the All Blacks, the most successful sporting franchise of all time.
Yeah.
And whoever gets the MVP for that match has to clean the lockers that day, because they believe so much in character over talent.
Yep.
And I think that's so rare in sport, when everything, what's prized in sport is, can you succeed? You know, is this, can you succeed? Can you get the gold?
Yeah.
If you're up the top, we love you. The public love you, you know, but as soon as you're not, you know, and I guess that's probably been revealed in your relationships as well, that people love Elijah when he's the junior world record holder, but then 2019 comes and you underperform and you find out who your true friends are in that as well, I suppose.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you put it perfectly. You know, you can be this superhero to everyone when you're performing well, and then as soon as you don't, it's like people don't know you. And, you know, I experienced that firsthand, and it's a weird feeling, because you've learned very quick who your true friends are.
Yeah.
And people that you actually liked kind of just almost, it's almost like they backstab you, but you don't, they don't know that they've done it type thing.
Well.
So even that in itself was a disappointment for me, and something I had to learn to grow through. But at the end of the day, it's something that I would rather have happened than not.
Yep.
And yeah, I believe that character is the most important thing, because you can be a champion and you can be the world's best, but if you're someone that is not very nice or not very good, You know, people can see right through that, I believe. And yeah. I'd rather be the person that maybe doesn't win, but the, you know, people's champion.
Yeah. Great. The people's champion. Yeah. I love it. How do you go with not keeping your identity wrapped up in the swimmer, Elijah? Like, mm-hmm. you're bigger than that. You're much bigger than that. And so when it gets taken away, you said, it feels like I've lost my job a little bit.
Yeah.
Is there almost that identity crisis within you? Is like, who am I now without this?
Yep. That was a, you know, a huge problem I was facing, you know, when I was going through my successful years of swimming, 2017, 2018, that's who I was, Elijah the swimmer.
Yep.
I kind of broke onto the scene and everyone knew me as that. And that's what I believed. You know, I believed without swimming that I'm nobody and I'm a guy that just goes to uni and, you know, just lives his life and I'm just normal,
sure, yeah,
type thing. And that's what I truly believed. And then, you know, 2019 hit and that's again where a lot of, you know, personal character building can happen. I bet if we had this podcast, you know, in just before, you know, my bad swim, I would sound completely different to what I sound now because I feel like I've just grown beyond swimming, just in myself and how I can see myself as, you know, who I am on this earth. Like I mentioned before, I found my purpose of why I swim. Before, it was because I like winning. Yeah. Now, it's because, you know, I believe I have something to show people that, you know, people might not have.
Amazing. The transcendent vision. I totally get that from I want to win to now I've got a purpose here. I've got a vision here.
Exactly.
I'm called to this.
Yeah, exactly. And that purpose still might involve, like, I still have
hopefully it still involves winning.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my passion is still I really would like to win, but yeah. It's not my focus. It's not my, well, if I don't win, that's it. I'm no one,
yeah,
type thing. It's, you know, if I don't win, I'm okay with that because I have something else that is bigger.
Yeah, you're much more durable as a person, as an athlete, and but hopefully we still see you on top of the podium.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
that's still the goal.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks for coming on the show with us, and we'll know Elijah the Olympian next year, and even after the Olympics, we'll get you back on the show, and you can tell
exactly
us about the lessons that you've learned.
Exactly, 100%. Yeah.
But thanks for being vulnerable with us today and sharing what you've been going through and all your trials, but all your successes as well. It's phenomenal, and I do believe God is going to do something through you in the swimming world and the athlete world as well. So thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's great.
And thanks to all our listeners as well. Thanks for tuning in today to the Influencing Society podcast. Hopefully something that Elijah has said has just really gripped your heart, has really tugged on your heartstrings a bit in a way that you can grow as a person, become more durable as a person, and something has taught you to influence your world for good and for God as well. We'll see you next time.